Good morning, God bless. Welcome to hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Wherever you are today, may God bless you and strengthen you in the mighty name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God is with you. Never give up. There is always hope. There is always hope because we serve a God of hope. We got Simon with us today. We're coming out straight out of the barrel of truth. So wherever you are, grab this podcast, you know, hashtag Christian Straight Talk. The second book is almost out. It is a must. Christmas is coming. Get it ready. Get it wrapped. Get it ready. But you are joining Simon Pinchbeck and myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, for hashtag Christian Straight Talk, as we have a great title today. Are you interested? I wonder what you're thinking it might be. We have an enemy. We have an enemy, Simon.
Yeah, good morning, Ben, and good morning, world. We do have an enemy, and he has a strategy, Ben. So, but, you know, we don't have to worry too much about it, but it's good to know about it, Ben.
Amen.
Because if you're out there, you'll hear all sorts of things attributed to this enemy. And really, you know, we shouldn't give him too much because he's been defeated.
He's gone.
He's been defeated, but he's still about, and he's he has a strategy. So we're going to look at that today, Ben. Before we go into his strategy, Ben, he was the top angel at one time, wasn't he, this enemy, wasn't he?
He was the daddy.
He was
created beautifully. He was, in the eyes of God, God created him. We understand and we get that how a massive part he had to play in heaven.
Yeah, but wasn't he the worship leader, Ben?
He was the worship leader. He wanted to be worshipped, and that is the fall. And when you want to be worshipped other than God, you are going to trip straight away.
You hear it; it's in the Bible. You know, pride comes before a fall, and this was the big one, wasn't it? You know,
it was.
You know, he wanted to be God-like, didn't he?
He did.
Yes. He wasn't happy being sort of number two or whatever. Nah. You know,
the Scripture tells us that God, when God created him, he said, "You look beautiful. You was absolutely beautiful when I created you. You was just so beautifully looking. God created these beautiful angelic heavenly hosts, but suddenly we find Lucifer is the one that wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be in that position of God. And I love what Christ says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. He says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." So
there you go. Because what he did, he went around and he says, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, Ben, he got a third of the angels in heaven to...
And he swept them out with him.
Yeah.
And they came... So that's quite interesting, isn't it? If you've got a third of them, so there must have been something... angelic conversation is interesting, isn't it? Heavenly host. So how did he capture a third of these heavenly hosts? Now, we must remember that God created these. God created these. So if God is the creator, he knew that there was going to be an X amount that was going to fall. And he knew about the garden, the fall in the Garden of Eden. But he still chose to create. So nothing is outside of God's understanding, because there are a lot of people who think, well, that Satan is really strong. No, Satan's not strong. He has a limited power. He has a limited access. He can only do what God allows him to do. He can't do anything outside of God.
He's as strong as you let him be.
He's as strong as you let him be, because the Bible says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're under my feet." That's all we need to know.
Well, he fell from heaven and into a place that we know now as hell, don't we? You know, the name Lucifer has been taken away from him, and, you know, he's got many names, hasn't he? You know, devil, Satan, Beelzebub, all that sort of stuff.
This is what Revelation... He's got a strategy. Now, this is the strategy that Simon is talking about. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray.
Yeah,
he was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him.
Now, many attribute him to be the god of this world, don't they, Ben?
Yeah. Mm.
But then we read in the Psalms where it says yeah. the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You know, so he is the god of this world, but he don't.
But he's limited to
he's
what
limited.
He's limited.
He's limited to what God allows him to do, basically.
And when you study that and you really think about that, well, he's a bad boy. So if he's doing what God only allows him to do, where does that actually put God? Well, that is a very deep theological study. We've got to be very careful because as we see in the book of Job, you know, God said, Satan, what are you doing? I'm to-ing and fro-ing, backwards and forwards, looking for, have you thought about?
Yeah, and the Bible tells us again in Revelation, doesn't it, that he's the accuser of dear brethren. And yes. I guess we'll come on to that in a little while, maybe look at that in more depth, because we don't have to be accused. But his strategy, Ben, number one strategy for the people on the earth is God's creation. He wants yes. to destroy every single person on this earth. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you are in the church of the satanic church or you're in the church of Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy you. How does he do that? Well,
fear, manipulation.
If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, he wants to destroy you. He wants to distract you, and he wants to prevent you from being a believer of Jesus Christ. So
Mind games. Because Romans
total.
Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But what he does, he keeps regurgitating our past. Do you remember what you was? Do you remember what you done? Do you remember? When actually the cross says, it is now to the cross, it is finished, you are free. So the accuser of the brethren, Lucifer, Satan, whatever stamp you want to put on him, he will use words, he will use situations, he will do so many things just trying to manipulate. But if you are a true son or a daughter of the living God, you are saved. Christ does not live on the rest, on the half side of you, and he doesn't share any room space in your heart with Lucifer. If you are a born again believer, there is no room for Lucifer. It's mind games, and it's an outside press.
It's total mind games. And so if you're not a believer, one of the things he'll do, he'll go, this Jesus stuff.
Yeah, this Jesus.
It's all true. But now's not the time for you. Go out and have some fun. There'll be time enough later on. And you buy into that lie. The time will be very short because, you know, you could end up losing your life and not being saved. So here we are. So he's got a strategy for non-Christians, for people who haven't sought the Lord their God as their Saviour. He's got a strategy for them to keep them from being saved.
That's right. He wants to use what he can only use, and that is materialism. He can use everything through eyesight and perception to keep someone from focusing on God, and he will do that very easily. But when God calls, the devil's lost.
If we answer that call.
If you say God.
If we answer that call. But he also has a strategy then for people who are believers, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour.
To go back.
He's got a strategy for them as well. And the thing is, if he can't destroy you, he wants to distract you and prevent you from being the man or woman that God made you to be.
So it comes down to identifying who you are in Christ, doesn't it? Because he will mess about with your identity. We see a lot of this in the gender issue at the moment. There's the confusion. There's the washing machine of life. We're spinning around. We don't know who we are, what we are. But in Christ, it says one simple thing. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. And you belong.
And one of the lies he will say to a believer is this, Ben, I believe, is that, oh, you know that calling that's on your life and you know that you really want to go for it. It's true. It's true. But not now for you. Not right now.
Come on this
You're
way.
Too busy. You've got a family. You've got this, that and the other. just put that back. Put that to one side for a moment. Mm. He'll try and distract us.
Yes.
Because he sees many people start things in the Christian world, and that doesn't bother him, because very few finish, Ben. What gets his attention is people that are steadfast and set their face like flint and go, I'm following Jesus.
I'm in this. So what happens is, when you realise who you are in Christ Jesus, the devil cannot capture you, because the Bible says, under my feet, that's where you are. God has given us authority and power to tread upon the lion and the cobra. We understand that. But there are a lot of ministries out there that focus completely on deliverance all day, every second, and that is a distraction. The devil is working in that as well. But when you know who you are in Christ and you just focus on Christ, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's really interesting is, when you keep seeking God, you realize, and actually comes a point when you focus, actually, a minute, the devil is nothing. He's literally nothing. He has no authority over me whatsoever.
Well, if you keep your eyes firmly fixed
on the author, the perfecter of your faith,
hands to the plow, then you'll be taken care of.
That's spiritual warfare done and buttoned up.
Yeah.
If you just keep your eyes on Jesus, you keep in the Word. Yeah, I've got outside influences. Yeah, I've got a press from the world on the outside, and we'll always have that. But one thing is when you've got a heart for God and you're seeking Him, you suddenly realise that it's the devil. He's lost. But what he will do, he'll put temptation in your eyes. But that's just the world, as well as.
I mean, we're going to come on to a couple of great scriptures in a moment, but you know, one of his things is Ben, is that he's an imitator.
Mm.
And, you know, if you're following the truth, you've only got to be half a degree or one degree out from the truth.
Yeah. And that's what we've got now.
And you're going to end up miles away, aren't you, Ben? So tell us, because he's in the church, isn't he? He's imitating.
He's got a desk in the pastor's office.
He's imitating
false prophet. There is a falsehood, and there is so much within the religious box of what we call the church. He is working. Lucifer is moving. You know, we've got false prophets. We've got false teaching. You just need a slight degree in error. And a long shot, I haven't got this right, but one thing I'm understanding now is the church within the UK is missing so much clear, clean, sound doctrine, the doctrines of grace, the doctrine on the sovereignty of God, the teaching of salvation, the teaching on the blood, the teaching on the birth, the death, and the resurrection, the very fundamental points. When the church teaches and preaches that, the devil's out the door. But as soon as you start talking about me...
And the church don't even talk about we have an enemy, do they? The church don't talk about the enemy's strategy. Why? Because a lot of times they're following.
The enemy's behind the pulpit.
He's behind the pulpit, yeah.
He's giving them what their itching ears want to hear. Because the devil feeds the flesh.
Just look at this if you're out there.
What are we at? What scripture?
In John 8:44, right?
John 8:44.
He's talking to these religious characters of their day, right?
Oh.
And he might as well be talking to some of the religious leaders of our day. Right?
Exactly.
Because he goes, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he is the father of it.
Wow.
He might as well be speaking to some of the religious leaders of our day, Ben. He might as well just be right.
Take some denominations. You don't need to mention how Lucifer's working in that, because they're away from the point of the Word of God. And there's one degree of error. You know, you belong to your father. You see who you belong to by what you're not believing in. The scripture says, just believe.
As soon as
I come away.
Come away from the Word of God in any way, shape or form.
But the question is, Simon, is there salvation in the arena in the first place? because I understand when I'm saved, that I am a new being. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yes, there is still temptations. Yes, there is still fleshly desires, because that will always be with us because we're in this earth suit. But I'm actually beginning to understand that there are denominations that are not even saved and blood washed because of the clear teaching. I know anyone can fall. I know all have fallen short of his glory, but there is a blatant teaching out there that you can go and do anything you want and be whoever you want to be and have no consequence.
And have no consequence. And it's something we spoke about, consequences, in another book, I believe, in one of another podcasts, which was the courage to take on the consequences of what we do.
But the consequences of action.
Of actions. But these, some of these leaders who are preaching a different gospel, are leading people to hell, Ben.
They are.
They're leading people to hell. And the thing is,
That's really strong to say, but it's fact.
It's fact.
And there'll be listeners and people going, no, you can't say that. Well, let's make this clear. The Church of Jesus Christ, the real Church of God, will not engage in this false stuff that's going on, this hype, you know.
Because look what Jesus says, right, in just a little bit back from that, in John 8:32, Ben, he says this, he's talking again to these people. And listen to these words, because these words, if you don't listen to anything else we say today, listen to these words. He says this, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.
Amen. Yeah.
And you shall know the truth.
And the truth will set you free. Freedom.
Simple, isn't it?
It's simple.
It's not complicated.
Just believe. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I am free. I'm a child of the living God. Goodness, the word of God frees us up. The word of God frees us from everything.
You don't have to be in bondage to anything.
No.
Because the word of God frees you up.
Thank you, Jesus. You
don't have to have someone come round and say, oh, you've got an evil spirit, or you're doing this, that, and the other. No, the word of God will set you free.
How can I have an evil spirit if I've got the Spirit of God? I might have a satanic influence on the outside.
On the outside.
That's trying to press me. But if the Bible is right in what it says, is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
And don't take that lightly, because that is massive, what Ben has just said. Say that again, Ben.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So there is no, my left and my right side, they're not rented out. Christ completely takes my complete being, my complete body. He gives me salvation. So there is no room in my being for Lucifer to live, because Christ cast him out from heaven. God flung him out. He took a third of the angels with him. God calls him, lifts him up and says, you was what you was, but you wanted to be a God. So God will not allow a tiny percentage of Lucifer to live in anyone that is truly born again, because the devil is under your feet.
So what did he say, Ben, when the religious leaders of the day accused Jesus of being from the devil?
Oh, gosh.
He said, how can Lucifer, the devil, cast out the devil. He said that, didn't
it? Exactly. So that brings it back, doesn't it, to the text of John that I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you are a true believer in Christ, the devil has no power over you. And then we come on to a difficult text in the book of Job, when the devil was, Lucifer was roaming backwards and forwards. What are you doing? God said, what are you doing? Well, I'm just looking. Have you considered my servant? Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's an interesting, because as we said before in Revelation, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren.
Mm.
Now, what happens there, Ben, is quite a simple thing. A strategy is pretty simple. So if he sees you, if the devil sees you doing something you shouldn't do, and you don't confess it, if you commit a sin and you don't confess it, it will run up.
That's
it'll
right.
run up to the father and say, "Did you see what Ben did?
Did you see?"
And what Ben, what the father does, he turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, did Ben, has Ben confessed that?" And Jesus will say, "Yeah, he's confessed. I see no sin in him."
That's right. So the power...
It's gone. It's got a confession.
It's gone. It's gone.
Recognise if you have sinned, if you've fallen short, which we all do in most days, recognise it, confess it, and move on. Mm. Repent of it and move on.
Repent. Repent and move on.
Yeah.
But this is the journey of Christianity. This is the journey of being a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. The old has gone and the new has come. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15 is a very interesting read about Lucifer. And in verse 12 of Isaiah 14, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn. How you cut down to the ground. You laid the nations low." It mentions so much about Lucifer was cast down. So if Lucifer is cast down, he has no authority over God, through God, with God. The power of speech that does everything. We understand Beelzebub, we understand Lucifer, we understand the sons of the fallen gods, we understand Nephilim, we understand because the Bible tells us, and how spiritual and the spiritual entities that are with them, Babylonian and the battle of Magog and Gog and everything that goes on through the book of Revelation. But at the end of the day, whatever way you look at this, he has no strength over you, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. So it's mind games.
Totally mind games.
Ben. Mind games.
The only strength he's got is a strength for you, if you're a born again believer, is this strength that you allow him to have, and the battlefield is indeed in the mind, and the battlefield is the mind. So where he'll go, he'll come, and there'll be maybe a temptation. It's always something that perhaps you want.
Because it's the flesh, isn't it? The flesh.
Always something that you want.
Oh, that looks good. The grass is greener.
Rather than pray to the Lord and say, you know, "Father, is this something, you know?"
Yeah.
No, we don't. And he'll attack us, Ben.
He'll just gnaw away at the flesh. It'll gnaw.
For those earthly temptations, for those fleshly temptations, they'll come at the time when you're hungry.
Yeah.
You're angry. You're lonely or you're tired.
Yeah.
When your resistance is pretty low, that's what I'm trying to say. And so there will be, you know, a tired, there might be a temptation to look at some pornography.
Yeah.
Or there may be a temptation to gossip about someone. There may be a temptation to do something, to sin against the Lord in a way that you shouldn't do. Or just to sit in your chair and do nothing. Do you know? So they're getting up and having a go for Jesus. So there will be that time. So we need to be aware of that. So if we're aware that you've got that feeling coming on, you know, Father, what we
give
do...
Give me wisdom. Give me godly counsel.
You have a couple of scriptures to
and
to
have
fire back,
and you know, have the strength to walk away. When you look at Christ in the wilderness, when I say Christ at his weakness, I'm talking about his physical being. After fasting 40 days, 40 nights, as Simon says, he comes in. Because what does the devil want? The devil wants to be like God, and you will find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. He says, and he speaks to Eve, and he makes it very clear. He says, "For God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." So this is right in the very beginning. Right at the very beginning, you will be like God.
So it's something
that's something
tempting them, Adam and Eve, something that they haven't got.
It's all right, you'll be like God.
That they want.
And that's the same for the church today. Little gods. This is my church. I have built this.
You too can be like this. You too can be. You too.
You can hear Satan, can't you? You too can build this. We will worship you. There's something in worship. And that's what Lucifer, that's what Satan, Beelzebub, you know, all the names that he's got. At the end of the day, what does he want? He wants to be recognized as God.
Yeah.
Worshipped.
And
you worship him in a way by giving him airplay and keep speaking and keep talking about deliverance and this and that. If you shut that conversation down and say, God, I don't actually need deliverance, because why do I need deliverance? Because that brings a mockery to salvation. Salvation is a gift, and when God gives you the gift, you are a new creation. You are born again, filled with the Spirit. So why do I need to be delivered?
The problem is, I think, Ben, is that in a lot of these churches and their charismatic churches, their churches that have cultural, grown very, very quickly.
Tribal.
He's interwoven in everything. If you look at them, and I'm going to say this out there, it's pretty much occultish. A lot of the stuff they're worshipping is a feminine spirit.
Yeah.
They're singing feminine sort of songs. They're going into mantras. Pagan. We're looking at the Kundalini spirit rather than the Holy Spirit in churches. And you know, we know where they are. The Bethel Church and everything associated with them. A Hillsong Church, everything associated with them. The Lord is exposing that right now. And, a lot of those places are coming down. But when you're so interwoven and you're bought into it, he's in there. And he's in there.
Because music is the instrument and the tool and the weapon that he uses. So worship is a beautiful thing when you worship God, but you can get caught also without knowing that you're worshiping the artist that actually wrote the song, the musicians. You start to lift them up, so you start to make them a God. So words in worship and the rhythm of music and the airwaves that it moves at is you can get into a trance. There's a difference between a trance and true worshiping God.
Right. There's something called the 7-11 process, and it's seven words repeated 11 times.
Yeah.
It's people into a trance-like state.
And
it's nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It's nothing at all to do with worshipping God. It puts you into a fleshly state.
And, of euphoria.
It's all about how you're feeling.
How you're feeling and your emotion. And adrenaline. Yeah. And there is a spiritual drive, but it's not of the Holy Spirit. So when you look at Lucifer, he was created beautifully. He was the worship leader. So he works through music. He works through adoration. He works through being adored. He also works in a very false way. So he mimics, he tries to mimic God. So we have to be wise. We have to be very wise and say, God, help me in this situation. There is a lot of music in church that is not worshipping God.
Yeah, totally. It's Christian rock and roll, Ben.
That's what it is. So much.
And they're making... and so what I said before, look. Just have a look. Don't take it for granted. It's lovely sounding.
Music is lovely.
Some of that stuff that they produce, it really tickles the ears. It's great, but... Look at the...
Who is it lifting? Who does it lift? At the end of everything.
It lifts you up, doesn't it? It don't lift Christ up. It lifts you up. And you think, I'm really uplifted. Well, it's not about lifting you up.
No.
It's about you lifting Christ up. But have a look at the artists. Dig a little bit deeper. Have a look. Google the artists. See who they're associating with. See where they're about, what they're up to, because some of these artists are all over the place. And without knowing it, all of a sudden you're into some occultic thing.
Yeah.
Be very careful.
Be very careful, because the Bible says Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The scripture tells me that God has given us authority to tread upon the lion and the cobra. So this is external. So everywhere I read, there is an external press. The devil is under my feet. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when you are born again and God calls you to that and God has predestined that, suddenly anything that you may have had connections to the occult world, because God will not leave. If someone that is not born again but is dabbling in witchcraft and all the occultic activity and Masonic activity, when you're on the wrong side of the cross, as soon as God gives you salvation, that stuff disappears. You cannot be possessed by the devil. You cannot have spiritual influence from Lucifer inside of you when God calls you and God has saved you. It cannot, because that makes a mockery of the cross. Once you're saved, you're saved, and you are blood washed. Yes, I understand how the spiritual entities and Lucifer and his agents try from the outside, but inside is the most important place. Your heart is renewed. God has given you a gift of salvation. You are saved. So even I have to question deliverance ministries now. You have to come and look at this. Deliverance ministries, who are they lifting up? More of Lucifer or more of Christ? Because if the Bible says I'm saved, I am saved. What am I saved for? What does saved mean? It means saved from the world and the satanic areas. Salvation, redemption, justification. If the church would talk about the sovereignty of God and the adoption, we have been adopted. We are sons of the living God. There's no way Lucifer lives within me. He tickles my ears from the outside, but I know who I am in Christ.
And if you know who you are in Christ, and that's a massive point.
I'm just a son.
That's a huge...
And that's all that... That's it, isn't it,
son? If you know who you are in Christ, Ben, then you know your authority.
Yes.
And you know that you can speak over your life with the authority.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is, the way I understand it, is that from an early age... There'll be strongholds and things that have been set.
Now, you've said that. Strongholds.
There'll be strongholds and things that the enemy sort of will put inside of you and that you wrestle with. So one of the biggest things is words said over you. You know, maybe a parent has said something like, you're no good. Yeah. You'll never make anything of yourself. And then what happens is a wall starts to be built where a teacher will say you're worthless, or someone in your sports coach will say you're on the subs bench again. You know, builds up a wall of insecurity, unworthiness, I'm not worth anything. And so you're seeking validation all the time from something else. But when you become a believer in Christ, and when you give your life to Christ and make him your Lord and Saviour, Jesus says you're born again.
Filled with the Spirit.
You're filled with the Spirit. So if you understand that to its fullest, and if it's been explained to you to its fullest, then you know that you have authority over that, and the Holy Spirit will convict you of that and understand, you'll have an understanding of that, and you'll be able to overcome that.
So how can I can't have two spirits living in me, can I? It's either one or the other. Because God isn't going to take up residence with Lucifer.
No, it's but here's the deal, right? I believe that a lot of people accept Christ but still live a little bit of that old life, don't they?
The way of the world. All the time. Because we're a program where we're very repetitive in our life, and that great writer writes, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this away from me. It can be torment, it can be issues of life, it can be a workplace, can be tempting, life can be tempting. God is the one that delivers us. God has set us free from temptations. It might be alcohol, it might be drug use, it might be money, everything. But the temptation is always on the outside, because the world is tempting.
See, that's where the battlefield is. And when you know, we understand who we are in Christ, then we understand that we have the authority over the enemy. And whilst we are still might have that, some of that old man left or old woman, you know, left in, inside us, that the spirit, that's where the spirit comes in and convicts us of that stuff. Now, we should, being born again, hate that old stuff that, that has ruled our lives all that time. It might be lust, it might be anger, it might be whatever. And so the Spirit of the Lord will convict us, and we can get that stuff out, and we can start to live.
Praise God.
Because what does he say in Romans 8:5? You're bang on, Ben, with Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So,
it's done.
Why do people feel guilty? They feel guilty because there's an enemy out there with a whole legion of demons wanting to make you feel guilty.
Yeah.
But you don't have to feel guilty because it says so in the Bible.
It's nailed to the cross.
It's nailed, it's gone.
You're free.
You've given that old life, but have you?
Yeah.
Have you held on to a bit? Have you held on to a bit of lust?
We all hold on to a little sneaky little bit.
But what he says in Romans 8:5, Paul says, you know, Paul the Apostle says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh.
Oh.
But those who live according to the Spirit, the things that live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you're not living at peace, then there's some carnality still left in your life. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. Because you quite rightly said that. You can't live the two in the same...
You can't do it.
...earth suit. You can't live the two in the same...
In the same skin. You can't do that. Can't. Christ will not allow the devil to take up 1 millimetre, 1 grain of sand in your being. You are born again.
But...
Freedom, but...
Here's the deal.
Here comes.
We can choose what we think, and we can invite them thoughts into our
thinking, our mind.
Our mind.
So, what's the scripture say about that? So, it starts off in a thought. It starts off in a little. The action has come. I've committed to sin. So it starts off in the thought.
In the thought.
It starts in the mind.
So we can do one or two things. We can go, oh, come in thought. And we sit down, have a cup of tea with it and think, oh, yeah, that's a nice thought. That's a nice thought.
I'll have
Let me get into that. Or we can go, bosh.
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. What did Jesus say?
What did Paul say? Was it in Corinthians, is it 10, you know, take every thought captive?
Yeah. So, okay. So every thought is very very interesting. So the thought, the process of the mind, the psychologicals, the processing, the cognitive processing of life. Everything we live by is what's in front of us. So if certain environments we need to extract ourselves from because of temptation, and that's not always sexual, that is just temptation of, I'll have a new telly, I'm going to go on holiday again. I'll get the credit card out. I'll do.
Press on that button.
The Amazon button. So everything is not always a sexual sin. Every debt is against the word of God. Pride, arrogance, unforgiveness. So we are living in a whole culture of a fallen state.
We see.
So the thought has just dropped. Before I've thought it, I've committed it. So even the thought. So we don't even need to go and commit the action. Because once the mind starts engaging, the battlefield of the mind. But let me just read from Psalm 91. Psalm 91, this is really important. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample that great lion and that serpent. Verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. God is on a rescue mission.
He is, Ben. But, you know, you've got to make your
decision.
Whole earth suit a dwelling place for the Lord, haven't you?
Goodness.
Because if we go to Romans 12:2, Ben, it says, do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we live in the world, but not of the world, and we realise then that Jesus Christ has set us free from the world. So why are we still living of the world? And a lot of people do, Ben. They'd be saved for eternity, but they're still living of the world because they haven't got to that point where they've gone
maturity.
Are they gone
and surrender?
I've got lust. Oh, I like lust.
I like it all.
I'll hang on to that.
I'll hang on to that.
Yeah. Oh, that little waitress there. She smiled at me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, love. You don't worry. Yeah. No.
Unforgiveness. No. Unforgiveness is a bigger one.
That's huge. Yeah.
That gets. I wonder what the percentage is of unforgiveness across the platform of church. Because that is as bad as
it's because
that runs through.
It's worse because what does that do, Ben? Unforgiveness turns into resentment and bitterness,
jealousy, and keeps anger.
You
anger
in a prison
keeps you in a prison in your. So the Lucifer don't need nothing to do. With
he
you.
Doesn't need nothing because, to do with it because it's already in there. And here's the deal. What does it do? What does it do? It prevents
it festers,
you. From being the man or woman God made you to be.
It makes me angry. It makes me... how often does a conversation come up at work or at home or somewhere, university, and go, yeah, but do you remember what they done? Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember what they said about me?
Listen, what does it say in the Bible? If you hand it over, man, hand it over. You've got to forgive. You've got to hand it over. And what does... What does the Lord say? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Yeah, I will repay.
And I will repay.
But I've got to hand it over. So the battle...
Hand it over. The battle is in the mind, isn't it?
Yeah, the battle is not with Lucifer.
You're getting
it's with me because
all the time. What did he say?
Am I obedient?
Did he really say that?
Did he say that?
Okay. No, you're not going...
you can't take her that tree. Of course you can. It's all right.
I know a mate of mine, he could have an argument in a... He's a saved brother, but, back in the day, he could have had an argument in a phone booth, you know, one of them guys. And I quite often used to see him, you know, someone will say something to him, and he'll get up, he'll walk away. 2 minutes later, he'll be back, what did you say? Because it's in the mind, it's going, it's playing
settled
away.
In the brain.
It's eating away.
It's like a disease. It gnaws and gnaws away.
While that's going on,
yeah,
there's anger, there's bitterness,
jealousy, frustration.
That's rage. Not the fruit of the spirit, Ben, is it?
No.
The fruit of the spirit is peace, long suffering.
It's interesting, isn't it? That
it's interesting
that although I am born again. Spirit-filled, God is with us, God is with us, we are washed in the blood of Jesus. It's hard enough just trying to fight the thoughts and the processing. So that actually the devil has no weight over me because my biggest enemy is me most
Your
days.
Your biggest enemy is yourself.
It's
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and don't attribute that.
No, you don't attribute that to him whatsoever. It's just...
Your biggest enemy is yourself.
My character... My attitude, me. But God loves me. So he sees my character flaws. He sees my unforgiveness. He sees all this stuff, and he nailed it to the cross before I even came into any existence. So if he died for me, I think I can find a bit of rest within me to know that, hang on, it's all right.
And that's the key. Once
you've rest got peace, and peace.
Yeah, you know. Let me quickly, before... We
have a fag.
Yeah, before we have a fag and a...
Have a Stella Artois.
And a nice top of that whiskey you got, Ben. Yeah, no. We'll
Temptations of the flesh.
See, the end of the day, my friends, God is in control.
Amen.
He's in control. Mm. And here's the deal, Ben. He's even in control of our enemies. Did you know
completely.
That? Did you know that, Ben? He's completely in control of him.
Completely.
What does he say in Isaiah 54:17? He says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. If you live a life according to the Spirit.
Do you know what? I love that scripture where God says, I will be an enemy to your enemies.
To your enemies.
I'm just going to sit back, God, and watch you beat the living daylights.
And what he wants us to do is bless them.
Yes.
Father, bless them people.
Give them
Father,
your coat.
Bless them now.
You they know, slap
what's
you.
It, what give. Does it say? He'll pour burning coals on their heads. You know, oh dear, that, you know, no, ooh. No, Lord. You know, that's a bit too much.
Thank you, Jesus.
But, you know, we've got to hand it over to the Lord and me. Rejoice not over me, my enemy, for I shall arise.
Wow.
That's another great scripture.
I will be an enemy to your enemies. Exodus 23:22, and what Simon is saying is so, so, so important. I can find peace so quickly, can't I? Because I don't need to go to a deliverance ministry because I'm saved by grace. I don't need to keep jumping up and down and chanting and shouting and screaming. I just need to go, God, thank you that I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. And being washed in the blood, what does that do? The devil can't get near the blood of Jesus.
No. You know, you cover yourself in the blood, you can't get near.
Covered in the blood. Exodus 23:22 clearly makes a clear statement what God says. God says about you. When you think about that text, Exodus 23:22, if you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, obedience. This is talking about obedience. If you listen, I'm listening, God. I'm listening carefully, the scripture says. If you listen carefully to what I say and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. So what do, Simon? I just praise God.
You praise God. You hand it over to him. You forgive whoever you've got to forgive. And you know, we have an enemy, and yes, we need to understand his strategy. We need to understand, but as Ben quite rightly says, he has not got. If we're fully born again and we have the Spirit, he's got no foothold in our lives whatsoever. So, what I'm saying to you today, do not give him a foothold, because if you give him a foothold, he'll make a stronghold out of that.
Yeah.
So we don't give him a foothold. We cut those thoughts off right at the very beginning. Slam the door. We don't invite them in for a cup of tea.
Keep me strong.
We slam that door on it, and we hand them over. Father, take that thought. Take that thought.
Yeah.
And
I think I've found a good prayer, actually, Simon, and we've mentioned it before, that it's just, Lord, strip me back. Because when I'm stripped back, I'm stripped back of the flesh. I'm stripped back to the vine. I'm stripped back to the bone. So I've got no flesh on me. So I've got no cravings. Because the cravings can almost do you noggin in, can't they? The cravings, and there's always a craving. But if you say, God, strip me back of my flesh. Strip me back of me. Strip me back of what my flesh wants. Strip me.
Strip me back and, you know, get me into the word and... Jesus says again, I am the truth.
Oh, come on.
Keep in me.
Keep in your Jesus.
For the truth will set you free.
Freedom in the word.
And if I'm wrestling with a bit of peace, I always come back to this Psalm 62, 1 and 2. Truly, my soul waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He is my rock, my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be shaken. Just... stay in the word.
You said everything in that one psalm. God has said everything through you in that one psalm. Read that again, Simon.
It says, truly my soul waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be shaken.
Everything in God.
It's everything in the Lord, yeah.
Everything.
It's, we're saying, you know, again, Ben, you don't need your spiritual director. You don't need your pastor. You don't need someone, you know, church elder.
It's just the word.
Jesus, don't you?
In the beginning was the word. In the beginning, Christ. It's Christ all the way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto thee. You've been listening to Simon and myself this morning here at Hashtag Christian Straight Talk, straight out of the barrel of truth. You know, the devil has no power over your life because you are born again, filled with the Spirit, and the gift of salvation has been given. You know, if you want to find some strength, look into the sovereignty in God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Look into justification, redemption, the gifts of the Spirit. You are a child of the living God, and you are saved. You are loved. You are redeemed. You have been washed in the blood of Jesus. And as the psalmist writes, the devil is under my feet. The territory belongs to me. God bless. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. Simon, anything to say before we jump on that aircraft?
And get out of it. No, I just want to say that you have the authority. If you're a born again believer, you have the authority.
Amen.
And if you want the authority, then, you know, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. But get into the Word and know the Word of God, because the truth will set you free.
Come on.
Don't let those thoughts take over. Close the door on those thoughts. Hand them over to the Lord. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. Don't let anything rule your life except Jesus Christ.
Praise God. There we go. We're out of here. May God bless you and strengthen you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God is with you this day and forevermore. Amen.